That is not a dare.
Okay, yeah, so I get to talk, I don't even know when it was, about basically like a bunch of stuff that has to like GitHub badges. So if you see, probably have seen these things on GitHub projects before, like build passing and code coverage and code climate. So these are all like services that you just basically plug your GitHub repo into and they do cool stuff. And then you get usually a badge or some communication back. Maybe it's a notification into your chat program or, you know. And I just think these things are really awesome. And since the last time I gave this talk, there's lots more of these things that people have written because they are awesome. So I have just a handful that I either have used or I've heard good things about. Show those. So the first is this tool called Pull Review, and the purpose of this tool is basically to do automated code reviews. So they have this awesome like liking guy too.
That is
legit.
Yeah, so you basically sign up for this thing, point to your GitHub repo, and then when you make a commit, it will do some of these automated code review things, such as, hey, you should consider refactoring this, or this is missing documentation, or I think there's even an option that says you committed code, but you didn't commit any tests. So it's sort of like first wave of code review. So it's kind of repetitive stuff that maybe a person wouldn't always want to comment on. And so it runs a whole bunch of these tools, which are things that I've always like wanted to run on my code but never remember to do this time. So there's a library called Excellent, RoboCop, Play, Break, and Rails Best Practices, Yard, and they have their own secret stuff, which is why you buy it through your bit of money. It's most similar to Code Climate, which is a tool that I showed the last time where it will grade your code based on complexity. And it's also sort of like this next tool, which is called Now. But Pull Review is pretty new. It's free for open source, which I think almost all the projects that I've talked about we'll be talking about are. But if you want it for private repositories or you want some other paid features, then you've got to start paying them £20 a month.
What?
Heroes. Heroes. How much is that? What's
I call it all three.
Roughly $40.
$25. So maybe some of these are expensive, but the
nice
thing is you can always try them out on your own open source stuff. Cool. So the next one is maybe the prettiest tool of the bunch. It's called Hound. It's made by ThoughtBot in Boston and other places. Hound is basically a light version of Code Climate and the Pull Review tool in the sense that it basically will check your pull requests for style guide violations. So you're on a project and you get a certain number of people on the project, it's sometimes useful to have a style guide that says, you know, we always use parentheses in our review methods, or we use tabs and subspaces if you're evil, or we always indent private method blocks. Yeah, so it does some of that. And Hound, I think, is only uses RoboCop, so it seems like they would do very similar things. The kind of neat part about Hound is that it actually will comment on a pull request in GitHub versus having to jump to a different tool. It basically have this like little robot that when you commit code, it's going to make all the like obnoxious comments that you wish you want to make, but you don't want to write 20 of them. Like, hey Joel, you're really not supposed to have trailing white space here, and you have to. I don't want to be a jerk and tell you that you use the wrong, you know, method name convention. So this is kind of a single purpose thing just for the staff guys. The other thing that is different than the poor view is that it also does CoffeeScript or does Dogad, and there's more languages coming that kind of built this thing, but now lots of them just kind of plug in style sheets and so this is free for open source. The other neat thing is that the app is open source, so you can in theory run it yourself or do some look at code for an app that ThoughtBot has made that actually like charges customers and does GitHub stuff. I think this is probably more valuable than some of the CodeStyle stuff, just being able to see, hey, this is a company that is pretty highly regarded in the Ruby community, open sourcing an app that isn't just a toy. And has a pretty awesome
development. What do you think of the source?
I did submit a pull request.
I didn't know it was open source until like moments ago. Yeah.
Okay. I thought there's a part of me that thought maybe you already had opinions on it. And you just wanted to.
I mean, I probably hate it.
It has a 4.01 code climate, so I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, I worked that code climate before.
Yeah. And I think you can also customize, like, you won't have your own style guide and it's different. So I think that is kind of neat.
Yeah, that part of you I would be interested in seeing. I know you haven't probably tried to customize anything yet, but
yeah. And then if you do go the pay route, it's only $9, and that'll give you support for your own private repos and organizations and all that stuff. So pretty similar kind of services and code climate for review and now. Kind of do this automated analysis stuff. So the Heroku button is something that came out like a month ago on Heroku. And I'll show you what it looks like. Basically a button you can put in your README that says deploy to Heroku and click it and you log into your Heroku. Provision the app and all the add-ons and spin it up for you, and you can ask your call for configuration options, and then at the end it, you know, the little spinner says, all right, your app's done, and then you've got the instance running on your system. So if you have an app that deploys to Heroku, maybe in your development app, and you have like, hey, a new developer starting the project, and you just like put a button and now have their own like staging instance. For me, I thought it was awesome because I had this RSS reader project and the preferred deploy thing is like you just plug it and deploy it to your own Heroku. So instead of a bunch of installation instructions, I can just pick the button. And click the button. Yeah, you can fill in some basic info. As there's some neat stuff too, like, so this is a Sinatra app, so there's like a secret token. I think Rails does the same thing. What secret token? So like that should be auto-generated, right? So the Heroku button uses this thing that's called app.json, which is a configuration file basically. You could say like, this is a configuration option, but it needs to be auto-generated each time. Not the same, and then like I just have this option for locale, so if your word speaks Spanish, you can change it to Spanish locale, and then once you deploy, it'll use the Spanish translation. And you just click this clip for free, and it'll make it for you, and then there's, you can specify scripts, like a post-install script, so in my case, like, after it installs, I have it run migrations and do some seed data. And then you can say, after it's done, redirect into this page. So then I redirect to a, like, welcome, now you have your own instance. So think it's pretty cool. And you just end up with this little deployment of the road. That to me is probably the neatest technically of all these new GitHub sort of tools. I think right now you have to have a GitHub repo for the clone, but
I was going to say,
the spec made it seem like you could just clone anywhere. That might be coming. And this is free, there's no charge. I'm kind of wondering in the future if there'll be something like some affiliate thing where if you get money, if then people deploy and start paying for it. I'll get rich off my ancestry. Okay, so the next app is Semaphore, and this is basically in the same field as Travis or Service CI or CodeShip. And I just picked this one because I've used it before and lots of people speak highly of it. I think you guys use Mild View something.
Use CodeShip.
Anybody use any of these other ones?
I use Travis, yeah.
Travis and CodeShip.
Yeah. So I use Travis also. I think Travis is pretty great, especially when it came out. It was pretty awesome. Semaphore has some really kind of nifty features, I thought. So instead of with Travis, you have to make the Travis.yaml, and sometimes there's a lot of fiddling you have to do with, hey, run this after and change this config. Semaphore is pretty smart about just detecting what your build script should be, and then you can always change it. But it knows, hey, this is this type of project. You're using RSpec and MySQL, so I need to run this command to set up the MySQL test database, and then I'm going to invoke the test like this. So that's pretty handy. And then, like some of these other tools, I don't know if Travis has to deploy it, but once your test passed, you can automatically push out the code to your question server and test. Heroku, you can use Capture Auto and then run it like that. If you're going to your own servers, or you can use AWS, DigitalOcean, all that stuff. Another thing that Semaphore is a cool feature that I haven't used personally, but it seems good in theory, is it's really easy to parallelize the tests. So you can say, hey, in one process run unit tests, and then another process run the cucumber test or some other slower test instead of waiting. I don't know, is it in the Travis could do? I know, like, at work we use JSONs and we have. If this feature is available, we're not making good use of it, because we'll have, the unit test run may take, 30 seconds, and then it runs the other, they're all chained together. There's only one step. Great.
I think you could do it in Jenkins, but I want to say if you're automatically required to have to spend an entire day configuring it. It doesn't matter if you could configure it in 5 minutes, it makes you have to spend 8 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Semaphore, I will say.
Yeah, so you just say, alright, this thing runs in thread one, this thing goes in thread two. A lot of people have said that Semaphore runs a lot faster.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's. It's like, hey, maybe they don't have as many jobs running, or they charge more money so they can.
We were on a client's code base running into the wall, and Outlaw's code base, we were running into an issue where. Not only did it take 20 minutes to run the tests, but the integration tests that were actually running headless browser and whatnot were timing out once in a while for apparent reason. We couldn't duplicate it locally, so apparently our laptops were more powerful than the machines running our code, which is actually so we switched, or they switched from Service CI to Semaphore, and almost in half, that's time in half, and we don't have any timeouts anymore.
So the pricing for this one is cool. It's a little hard for me to read, so it's free for open source for private projects. If you only have 100 builds, I don't know if it's per month, basically.
Yeah,
so. So that's like, you could use it on your private stuff, and it's free, and you get two processors, but only a limited number. Whereas if you move over to the starter plan, you only have one processor, so you can't do parallel stuff. Then you go down here, and you can get a board plan. So like, open source, you get two processors, $4.99. That's a little confusing, but it's free for just a single person who wants to try it out. So, this next one is called Safari. This one does security audits. So this would be very similar to CodeClimate, which has a security audit feature, as well as Gemnasium, which is another project I talked about last time, which will check your gems and your gem file for updates or vulnerabilities. So this thing basically hook up to your GitHub repo and then scan using these different vulnerability analysis. And it will tell you, hey, this was this CVE, the common vulnerability, so when this comes out, it will automatically notify you if you're vulnerable. And then it keeps track of your gems for dependency updates. The thing that I saw on this one that I didn't see on the others was that you could monitor this third-party software stuff. So, like, you could monitor the server tools you're using. Like, oh, is there an Nginx security flaw in our production server? So none of the other things that I had seen would check that. It was only like for your application. But to me, it seemed like if you're going to audit the security, you should also be checking the database and the web server and all that.
Is that a server premium or something?
I think you just report what versions you're using, and then they keep track of, hey, there's a vulnerability with Apache 1.2, you're running this version. It definitely didn't seem as kind of integrated and magical as the code analysis stuff, but I forget what the intro pricing is, but yeah, like maybe $20 a month is worth it to not have to constantly be checking if Nginx or MySQL or Redis any of this stuff has issues. So free for open source. I think if you're probably going to pay for one, I would probably just pay for CodeClimate. You get some of this for free, and you get the refactoring type stuff. And then VersionEye is very similar to Gemnasium or another app called Gem Canary. This basically does what I talked about, where it looks at your gem file and lets you know if there's been updates to those gems. And you might say, like, yes, we already have tools to do this. So this one's kind of special sauce is that it works with stuff other than Ruby gems. So it basically works with all these PHP stuffs. It works with Python libraries. So that's probably not as useful to someone building a Ruby app, but you can use it with Bower. So if you're using Bower or NPM for additional pieces of your app, you can get updates for that. Or if you're using, it works with CocoaPods, which is for iOS libraries. So it might be nice if you have, a Rails app and then an iOS app, and you can just use one thing to make sure all your dependencies for the whole company are up to date. Yeah, so I thought that one was neat that it had so much support. And again, this one is free for all public, and you also get one free private repository. And then it's like one Euro a month, I guess. I was kind of surprised that some of these were only Euros. But you can deal with locations like that. Yeah, so that's those were the new tools that I had seen before. They don't have any others that they have used or questions about these that I can try and answer.
Just to go back to the Travis one, you could automate the deploy stuff just because Travis gives you like this into the batch script.
Sure, yeah. You could write you can run over SCP stuff over to wherever. Yeah.
Okay.
Something that people, mainly one person that I talked to, Jeff Browning, who is here sometimes, likes about Semaphore is that the build server and deployment configuration is not inside of your source code. He likes that it's outside elsewhere. So you can control access to that a little bit more easily and let the repository just worry about the code. So. And he also likes that it's faster and cheaper.
Just out of curiosity, who here uses a CI or a build server of some sort, like Semaphore or CircleCI? Anybody use like Code Climate or whatever the ones that were mentioned today? Alan, one of them. What do you guys use? Do you guys use Code Climate?
I did like 6 months ago.
Okay.
I tried vociferously to get it on the current project I'm working on.
Cool. Code Climate fan then?
No, that's great.
Anybody use, what was it, Pull Review? Pull Reviewer?
Nice.
What do you think?
I like it. I think it's a little more in depth than Code Climate, which I guess could work for or against it.
Yeah.
But I like it.
The thing I both like love and hate about Code Climate is it gives you those grades, so then you're like, I'm gonna up this B to A.
Yep.
But then like it's not necessarily a good use of your time, but like I don't really think indiehackers.org Rails app is a great Rails app, but it's got 4.0 which I spent a day making sure it has 4.0.
Yeah. I think it's sort of interesting just for open source. So I've used the majority of these tools with an open source project. I think it's interesting that you can kind of signal things about the project just by saying that you use those tools. So if you have a tool that integrates with the build server, whether it's any of those options, you're kind of signaling that this project cares about tests,
mm-hmm.
that the tests pass, or hey, we have a Code Climate bad, we care about the quality. Maybe not you need it to be 4.0, but like that's something that's important enough that we spend 5 minutes to set it up.
Right.
So I think that can be interesting. I haven't experienced that in like a work project, but I think it might be similar. Like we have a build server, so we're writing tests.
Right. What are you using for the coverage badge?
Cover roles.
Okay.
I think I talked about that before.
Probably.
This one is just a code coverage tool. So it runs, under the hood, it probably just runs R-cut or whatever, simple cut. Yeah. I think Code Climate uses cover role. One of them uses the other somehow and do it.
I think it uses simple code.
One of the Code Climate things uses another service to like.
So Code Climate has like official partners.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Which I don't remember what that means, other than like, look, we wrote some documentation and we collaborated with them on it or something. Maybe it's integrations.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah,
cool.
So those are the things. They're all, like I said, they all have free plans. So if you just want to play around with them, just make a little test app, and most of them even have like sign in with GitHub. You don't even have to create an account; just offer it. Good to go. No worries.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah.